Okay, let's get started. We're continuing in doing sugyas that relate to topics that we've covered in the Daf Yomi, but again, things that you don't need to be learning the Daf Yomi to understand. So tonight we're going to discuss the mitzvah of chinuch, the idea of being mechanech children. I'll just parenthetically, next week I will not be giving shir Tuesday night. I was asked to participate in a panel of some sort in Yeshiva University, so I will not be here next week, but maybe we'll change the night. I don't know. We'll see. If not, then in 2 weeks we'll be back. So anyway, we start Masechta Sukkah this week in Daf Yomi, and there's a lot of vinyanim relating to Sukkah, obviously, to the structure of a Sukkah. We just had a whole daf today about geometry, so I decided not to give a shiur about geometry. Instead, on Daf Beis and Beis, for just a brief moment, the Gemara starts to talk about the mitzvah of chinuch. And I wanted to talk about the nature of that mitzvah, more in lamdus than in halacha, but let's take a look. We're not going to start from the beginning of this packet, because there's something I want to start with the Gemara that we're doing. So if you start in source number 11, the context of the Gemara is that there is a machlokas in the Mishnah what the maximum height of a sukkah is. The Chachamim in the very first Mishnah Masechta Sukkah say that sukkah shigavo l'malam ayasar mama, if you have a sukkah that's more than 20 amos high, psula, it is a possible sukkah, you're not allowed to sit in such a sukkah. The Gemara has three possible reasons why that should be the case, that if it's more than 20 amos high, it's possible, but for our conversation, it's irrelevant why. The halacha is simply, it is possible. But Rabbi Yehuda holds, it's kosher. In fact, the Braisa quotes Rabbi Yehuda says, "An arbayim v'chamishim amos, could be 40 amos high, 50 amos high, as high as you want it, it's still going to be kosher." Rabbi Yehuda thinks it's not possible. So there was a machlokas in the Gemara, what the context of that machlokas tanoim is. Meaning, are they arguing about any old sukkah, no matter how big the sukkah is, no matter how wide and long the sukkah is, they still argue about the height, or are they only arguing about the minimum size sukkah? If you have a sukkah that's exactly 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim, which is a very tiny sukkah, then they argue whether it could be more than 20 amos high. But maybe, if it's a bigger sukkah, yeah, let's say you have a big Rebbe's sukkah, you know, where the thousands of chassidim have to fit, so 20 amos high is not that tall when you're dealing with a very large sukkah. So there's a machlokas in the Gemara. Are they arguing only in the smallest size sukkah, but larger sukkahs are all going to be kosher no matter how high? Or are they even arguing about larger sukkahs? So in that context, the Gemara tells a story. The Gemara tries to prove that they must be arguing about big sukkahs also, because the Gemara says that the conversation between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim focused at some point on a story that actually occurred. So this is source number 11. Meisvei, sukkah shigavol l'malam yasmama, psula v'Rabbi Yehuda machshir. That's the machlokas tanaim. The Tanakama says that a sukkah that's more than 20 amos high is pasul. Rabbi Yehuda says it's kasher, ad arboim v'chamisha mama, even up until 40 or 50 amos high. Amar Rabbi Yehuda tries to prove his point, and he wants to say, look, I'll prove to you that a sukkah is allowed to be taller. Meaning, whatever case Rabbi Yehuda is about to quote is going to be the case that he believes the Chachamim disagree with him about. So if they're going to be talking about a sukkah that's bigger than 7 by 7 tefachim, then he believes that he and the Chachamim are arguing about even a large sukkah, not just a 7 by 7 tefach sukkah. So what's the case of the sukkah that he tries to prove his point from? Maisa Behilni Amalka, the Lud. There was a story of Hilani Amalka, who was a queen in the town of Lud. Shaisa Sukasa Gavoa Me'asar Mama. She had a very tall sukkah, more than 20 amos tall. And Talmidei Chachamim would visit all the time. They'd come in and out. Velo amru la davar, and no one ever said, you know, you should really get the height of your sukkah checked out because it's a problem. No one ever said anything. No one ever said anything to her. Everyone seemed to be perfectly okay with it. Says Rabbi Yehuda, don't you see? Therefore, that a sukkah is allowed to be more than 20 amos high. Amru lo, the Chachamim responded, Misham raya. What, you think that you're going to bring a proof from a case of a woman sitting in sukkah? Isha haisa, upiturim in a sukkah. Of course they're not going to say anything to her. She doesn't need to sit in the sukkah. A woman is pater from all mitzvot say shazman grama, except for the ones that they're chayiv in. But from most mitzvot say shazman grama, a woman is pater. So she's pater from sukkah. There was no need to correct her because she's a woman. Samar lahan, Rabbi Yehuda says, yes, there was a need to correct her if it was wrong, because v'alo shiva banim havula. She wasn't alone. She had 7 sons. Va'oda, not only did she have 7 sons, but kol ma'aseh lo asa el al pi chachamim. Everything she did based on the Chachamim, based on the advice of the Chachamim. So the Gemara says, well, what's the point of that second statement? Once you tell me that she has seven sons, I know that she's got to be in a kashra sukkah because she's got her kids to worry about. Why does he have to add, oh, and Kol Maaseh was all based on the Chacham, everything she did was based on the Chachamim. Lamali lemisni va'od Kol Maaseh lo asa el al pi Chachamim. What are we adding when we say everything was based on the Chachamim? Hachi ka'amar lehu. This was Rabbi Yehuda's point. Ki tomru banim ketanim hayu. If you're going to say, oh, the kids were very young, ketanim p'turim in sukkah, young children are p'turim in sukkah, that's why they didn't correct her. No, you have to realize there were seven of them, and we're assuming for some reason no multiple births. So kiven d'shiva havu, it just doesn't work out. If there are seven of them, they can't all be small. You can only, you know, the oldest ones are going to have to be at least the age of chinuch for sukkah, which is katan she'enu tzorich l'ima, a child that when he wakes up in the middle of the night doesn't cry out ima ima. So hopefully by the time you're the oldest of seven, even if you're not that old, by the time you have six younger siblings, hopefully you stop calling out ima ima if your mother's gonna survive raising these seven children. So the oldest one better stop calling out ima ima by that time already. So kiven d'shiva havu ef shetul havi buchad she'enu tzorich l'imo. It's impossible that at least the oldest one was someone who no longer needed his mother and was therefore chayiv in sukkah. The chitomer, and if you're going to say that might be true, but katan shein atzarach limo midrabanan hu demachayev v'yibidrabanan lo mashkecha, even a child that's 10, 11, 12 years old is only chayev in sukkah midrabanan. He's not chayev midoraisa in sukkah. It's only a din of chinuch. And maybe she didn't care about dinim drabanan. Maybe she was only worried about dinim daraisa. That's why we needed that second line. Tashma va'od kol ma'aseh lo asa al pi chachamim. Everything she did, she followed what the Rabbanan wanted, and if there's a din Rabbanan that your child, who's of age, not to cry out in the middle of the night, needs to be in a kashra sukkah, she's going to make sure her children are in a kashra sukkah. So Rabbi Yehuda says, that's my point. She was in a sukkah that was more than 20 amos high, her kids were with her. Maskaras HaGemara, the Rabbanan respond that her kids weren't really with her. She was like off in a side room and her kids were in a larger area. But the way the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda understands, her kids were with her, so you see that a sukkah that's more than 20 amos high is kosher. That's Rabbi Yehuda's proof. But what we're going to draw out of this story is the comment that the Ritva makes on that Gemara. She has a mitzvah to be mechadich her children. Now, will her kids really know the difference if it's if it's more than 20 amos high, if it's 19 and a half amos or 20 and a half amos high? Will they really? They'll remember from their childhood that they used to sit in the sukkah. If the whole point of chinuch is just to give them the experience of doing mitzvahs, so you can give them the experience without actually doing the mitzvah. It's like a child who wants to get dalad minim. So when you buy a little venesrog, so people who have young children will very often ask for a chinuch set. So you have to know what the language that mocher speaks. Sometimes the mocher says you want a chinuch set. What he really means is, do you want a puzzle set? Because they assume that you'll use that for chinuch. You'll give a puzzle of an esrog. You know, if a kid is really young, you can give him the plush, stuffed little of an esrog, or a piece of celery and a lemon or something, and tell him it's a little of an esrog. But as they get older and they're not fooled by that, you need to get them a good puzzle little of an esrog. So that's how some call chinuch set. But others, more accurately, when they call a chinuch set, what they're really referring to is a set that's kosher, but it's not muhudar. It is kosher, just not muhudar. Why would you call that a chinuch set? So it's based on this ritva. The ritva in source number 12 writes, Amar Rabbi Maisa Vilani ad kol ma'aseh lo asal al picham. That's the whole Gemara. Mehashaminan. From this story we see, de katan shemachanchinos b'mitzvos tzarech lasos lo mitzvah behechsher gamur kigadol. That when we're mechanich a child in mitzvos, we have to be mechanich the child with a kashra mitzvah, just as if he were a gadol that we're being mekayim the mitzvah. Da hamaisin and raya b'shmaitin misuka shalelani mishum delosagi deleka bebnei achad shegiel lechinuch tibay sukkah baliyasa. Because the whole story in the Gemara, the whole reason we're quoting this Gemara is to say her sukkah must have been kosher because she was using it for chinuch. What do you mean? Maybe she was using it for chinuch, and it was possible, but she was just giving her kids the sukkah experience. So you see from this Gemara, the fact that we use it as a raya, that her sukkah must have been kosher, that whatever you use for chinuch needs to be kosher. You want to train your kid to put on tefillin? Don't give him an empty batin. You have to give him a kosher bare tefillin. You want to train your kid to take lulav and esrog? He's got to take a kosher lulav and esrog. You want to train a child to do the mitzvah of tzitzis? It's got to be kosher tzitzis. All of these things. You have to have a kosher chefetz shel mitzvah. Mikra mali dibra kosov. Chanoch l'nar al pi darko. It says, chanoch l'nar al pi darko. Al pi darko, the way the Ritva seems to be understanding it is, the derech that he's going to need to use as he gets older. And you can't just give him an imitation of the mitzvah. You have to give him the actual mitzvah. Hiddur mitzvah is a requirement, but you can be yotzei the mitzvah without hiddur. Meaning there is a chiyuv to do hiddur mitzvah. So enochinami, it would be wonderful if you could train him in the mitzvah of hiddur mitzvah also, but to train him in the mitzvah of dalad minim, you just need to get him a kosher one. You should ideally you should train him in the mitzvah of hiddur mitzvah also, and you should teach him what's hiddur and what's muhudur and what's not muhudur. But to train him in the mitzvah of dalad minim, it doesn't need to be, with the extra hidur. So he says, "Gedol mizu amru musach seirvin kaveis zman biyom haKippurim litami liyinuka dilma asi lemisrach litzrach lichtov zel lefisherisi chacham tovim bezeh." Leaving out the raya from Erevin, he says, it's unusual for Rishon to say this, but the Ritva says, "I had to write this." Even though to me it's so obvious, I had to write this because I see that people make a mistake about this. The whole world still makes a mistake about this. Everyone does. So it should be pointed out that when we talk about chinuch, we're talking about a child who's at the age of chinuch. If you're getting your 4-year-old child a set of dalad minim, that could be possible because that's not chinuch. They're not at the age of chinuch for dalad minim yet. The age of chinuch for dalad minim, the Gemara says, is katana yodel na'aneabo, when he knows how to do the na'anuim properly, he knows how to shake it properly, which very often is, about 35 or so, is when he learns how to shake it properly. So certainly not a 4-year-old. So the age of chinuch is a little bit later. But that's what the Ritva says. It has to be kosher. But what I want to focus on is, what is this mitzvah of chinuch? Meaning, is the mitzvah of chinuch simply to get the kid in the habit of doing mitzvahs? You just want to be margil him, get him used to doing certain actions, and that way, when he gets older, he'll have good habits when he gets older. Maybe no, maybe it's more than that. And certainly that's a very strong possibility, and there are clear rayas from Rishonim that that's at least part of it. If you look at Rashi in Chagiga, Davav Amar Aleph, for example, Rashi says, "Halo ein chinuch katan ela kidei lahanhigo she soruch achar minhago l'kishe yagdil." You want it lahanhigo, create habits. You want him to get accustomed to it, so that when he gets older, he should fall into those habits. He should fall back on what he's accustomed to. That's the idea of chinuch. And therefore, if you can have someone who's going to be potter when he gets older from a particular mitzvah, well, then there's no point in being mechanechim, because it's not, there's nothing that you're training him for. But someone who's going to be chayiv in a mitzvah like tzitzis or sukkah or any normal mitzvah, that when he becomes older, he's going to be chayiv in the mitzvah, you need to get him in the habit of doing the mitzvah. That's one possibility. The other possibility is that maybe the mitzvah of chinuch is not just to get him in the habit of doing the right things, but maybe it's more than that. Maybe when the Rabbanon formalized that you have to have children do mitzvahs, maybe that means that just as we have a concept by women, let's say, a woman is potter from mitzvah shazman gama. If a woman volunteers to sit in sukkah, it's a kiyum mitzvah. She certainly gets a mitzvah, and Ashkenazim would hold she could even make a bracha on the mitzvah. A woman can take lulav, she's potter from it, but she gets a mitzvah for doing it. So maybe when the Rabbanon formalized the idea of chinuch, what they said is that we're demanding that just like a woman volunteers mitzvah sometimes, we're demanding that the children volunteer the mitzvah. Not that, like a woman who has the choice, if she feels like it, she can do it, if she doesn't feel like it, she doesn't have to do it. Once the chacham decide, the mitzvah, the concept of chinuch, what they're deciding is that every katan has to do the mitzvah as an einu mitzvah v'yoseh. That every child has to choose to volunteer the mitzvah, even though in reality they're not actually chayev in the mitzvah. Those are the two broad possibilities of the mitzvah of chinuch. One, either just getting into good habits, or two, not just good habits, but you're actually being mekayim the mitzvah as an einu mitzvah v'yosa. The child is actually being mekayim the mitzvah as an einu mitzvah v'yosa. And this may be a little bit broader, because there is a major discussion in the Rishonim, who's chayiv in the mitzvah? A child is chayiv because of chinuch. When we say, kid has to do the mitzvah because of chinuch, does that mean that the child is chayiv in the mitzvah? Or does it mean that the father is chayiv to be mechanich the child, but the child has no chiyuv of his own? Is the child considered a bar chiyuva? For example, the Gemara says in Maseches Brachos on Daf Mem Ches Amud Aleph, the Gemara says a guy is not allowed to be motzi people in benching unless he ate a kezayis dagan, unless he ate a kezayis of grain. Right? Because I can't be motzi other people in benching if I'm not chayiv in benchings. That's a davar pashut when it comes to being motzi anybody in anything. If you want to be motzi somebody else in something, you need to be at least on their level of chiyuv to be motzi them. That's one of the interesting discussions about whether a woman in Rishon, about whether a woman can be motzi a man in Mikra Megillah, in Yonah Diyama, about Mikra Megillah, whether a woman can be motzi a man in Mikra Megillah. So on the one hand, you would say, well, Mikra Megillah is a din drabanan, so men are chayiv midrabanan. Women are also chayiv achin haibos aneis midrabanan. So why not? So women should be able to be motzi, leaving out public policy issues and leaving out kalisha and sneus and everything. Just technically, a woman to be motzi her husband. Let's say the husband is ill, he doesn't have a voice, he can't read or whatever, just his wife to read for him. Can you have? Can a woman be motzi a man in Mikra Megillah? So there's a sheet of the Bahag that says no, that a woman cannot be motzi a man in Mikra Megillah. Why not? They're on the same level of chiyuv. So the standard explanation I think that the Achronim give is that the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah is not really a mitzvah midrabanan. The mitzvah of Mikra Megillah is a mitzvah midivrei Kabbalah. It comes from the Ksuvim, it comes from the Psukim in Esther. So that's higher than a Drabanan. It's not quite a Doraisa, but it's higher than a Drabanan. So a man is Chayiv in Megillah, Midivrei Kabbalah. A woman's Chayiv in Megillah, the Gemara says, because Afhein Hayibosa Anes. Tosos writes in Maseches Megillah that Afhein Hayibosa Anes is only a Mechayiv Midrabanan. Whenever we apply Afhein Hayibosa Anes, almost always when we apply Afhein Hayibosa Anes, it's on a mitzvah Drabanan. But even if it were to apply to a mitzvah daraisa, it would only generate a chiyuv midrabanan. So the woman is going to be chayiv only mitam afei rebos anes, is only going to be chayiv midrabanan. The man's chayiv midivrei kabbalah, a little bit of a higher level chiyuv. Someone who's on a lower level cannot be motzi, someone who's on a higher level chiyuv, which would chap enough kamina for Megillah reading at night, because Megillah reading at night is only drabanan even for men. It's not even midivrei kabbalah. So maybe at night a woman could be motzi a man in Megillah, but not during the daytime. Okay, but that's just the basic concept, that you need to be a bar chiyuva in order to be motzi somebody else. Says Rashi in Maseches Brachos and Daf Mem Ches Amud Aleph, that if a person eats a kezayis of grain, he can be motzi other people. Wait a second. How much does a person have to eat in order to be chayiv in benching mida o raisa? What does the Torah say? That a person has to be eat kedei sviya, you have to eat to satiation. You've seen what an olive is, even if you have a very machmir shir of an olive, that is not a kedei sviya. So we bench when we eat just a kezayis, but it's not daraisa, midaraisa, it's only if you eat a kedei sviya. So why is it that if I just eat a kezayis, I'm able to be motzi other people in benching? Why should I be? I'm only chayiv midrabanan in benching if I eat a kezayis. I'm not chayiv on a daraisa level. So Rashi says, since you're chayiv midrabanan, we call it mechuyiv bedavar. We call it that you're mechuyiv bedavar, and therefore you could be motzi other people. So he says, but wait a second. Then a child is also mechuyiv bedavar. Any child who eats is chayiv in chinuch. So he should also, if you're going to say that, you don't need to be on the same level, which is what Rashi seems to be saying. You could be motzi somebody else even if you're not on the same level. Against everything we said before, Rashi seems to be saying, you just need to be chayiv in some way, then you could be motzi other people. So either kezayis, you could be motzi other people who stuff their faces. Well, if that's the case, then a child should be able to motzi all of us in benching. Because the child is also mechuyiv in the midin chinuch. Says Rashi that no, katan is different. Hahu afilu midrabanan lo mechayiv. A child is not even chayiv midrabanan. Da'alei da'avua hu derami lechanuche. He has no chiyuv. it's his father's chiyuv. So the child is not a bar chiyuva at all, says Rashi. It's only the father's chiyuv. That's what Rashi says in Maseches Brachos. Tosfos on the spot writes that a katan is chayiv in mitzvos on a drabbanan level, just like a gadol is chayiv on a daraisa level. Tosfos over there disagrees with Rashi, and Tosfos makes the very clear assumption that a child is chayiv in mitzvos. So we have a fun. Yeah, that sounds like a chiyuv on the parents. But the question is, once the rabbanan formalized, that's a pasuk, and that's just in general hashkafa. It's a big question. This whole discussion. We always assume chinuch is the rabbanan. The Gemara says it. The Gemara says it in Sukkah and elsewhere that chinuch is the rabbanan. The biggest kasha in the whole sugya is, what did the Torah envision exactly? You'd raise your kids, let them eat pork, let them be mechal Shabbos. Comes bar mitzvah, okay, now six tariag mitzvahs. And like with nothing, there's no chiv, on a daraisa level, nothing. Oh no, you have to teach them Torah. So you have to teach your sons. You have to teach your sons Torah. That's it? What exactly was the Torah's vision of chinuch? So there is a lot of discussion on that. But chinuch l'nar al pidarko may just be a general concept that you should make sure that you raise your children right. But the actual formal obligation to make sure they do mitzvos, that's only mitrabanan, and that may be their chiyuv. That's the machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi says it's not their chiyuv, it's the father's chiyuv. Tosfos says it becomes the child's chiyuv. So this might be the same discussion, that if it's the child's chiyuv, so the child's chiyuv is not to be margil himself, the child's chiyuv is to do mitzvah. If it's the father's chiyuv, is train him, is get him used to it. Get him used to the idea of mitzvahs, be margil him in doing mitzvahs. We in fact find that this is a machlokas in Maseches Megillah also, with other Rishonim as well. The Ramban and the Ran line up with Rashi and Tosfos over here on this exact machlokas. The Gemara Megillah, the Mishnah Megillah says that HaKol K'sher Nikras HaMegillah, Chutz Mecher Shot HaVekatan. Anyone you want can read the Megillah except for a Cheresh Shot HaVekatan. The Cheresh, a lot of times people mistranslate these terms. Someone asked me recently about a developmentally disabled person who, with regard to chalitza, it's a more complicated shaila that I was asked, but they said they may have a din of a shota. So I said, no, they don't have a din of a shota. Shota means someone who's deranged. Someone who's developmentally disabled, someone who's a little slower, who doesn't process as quickly, that's not a shota. That's what we would call a cherish. A cherish was someone, literally it's someone who couldn't hear and couldn't speak, right? He's eno shemeya veno medaber. But the point was that he couldn't really be with it so much because he couldn't communicate in the normal way, he couldn't process things in the normal way that people process things. So when we talk about people who may be borderline lav b'nei das, we're not talking about shota usually, we're talking about a cherish. But whatever the definitions are, cherish shota v'katan cannot read the Megillah, and Rabbi Yehuda is machshir b'katan. Rabbi Yehuda says a katan can read the Megillah. So the Ran over there in Megillah, Davav and Beis, Bidape Arif, says, wait a second. Hikshu b'tosos, haikatan echidami. What kind of child are we talking about when we say that there's a machlokas whether a child can read the Megillah for you? Are we talking about a 4-year-old child, or are we talking about a 12-year-old child? You know, are we dealing with a kid who's not yet even included in chinuch? Or are we dealing with a kid who's already included in chinuch? What kind of kid is this? If he's 4 years old, and let's say he's just very precocious and he's able to read the Megillah, but he's 4 years old, so how could Rabbi Yehuda say that that's kosher? He himself has no obligation when he's 4 years old. Right? He's not even at the age of chinuch yet. So for sure he can't be motzi anybody. Sometimes kids are very good at memorizing things. So let's say the kid could remember the whole Megillah. So he's able to do that, but he has no idea what he's doing. He's not a bar das at all. He's 4 years old. Like I saw, they had that video, I was sent probably about a dozen times by different people, of that little boy, from boy, who had memorized the entire speech from A Few Good Men. So it's like a little 4-year-old in a bathtub, and he knew Jack Nicholson's entire speech from the movie A Few Good Men. Yeah, kids sometimes are very good at remembering things. They just have a good memory. So if you have any idea what he's talking about, of course he has no idea what he's talking about. But people sometimes, they just remember things. So you can have a kid who's not Igiyah L'chinuch, but he knows the whole Megillah. He can repeat to you the entire Megillah. But then why would Rabbi Yehuda say that's okay? He's not Mechuyav B'davar at all. And if we're dealing with a 12-year-old kid, so he's Igiyah L'chinuch, well then my time at the Rabbanan. Why would the Rabbanan say that he can't read? He's a Igiyah L'chinuch, so he's Chayiv Midrabanan. If someone is Chayiv Midrabanan, why can't he be Motzi me in my mitzvah Drabanan of Megillah? It's all Drabanan, so if he's Chayiv Drabanan, let him be Motzi me in my mitzvah Drabanan. Right? Isn't that the general rule? So that's the question that the Ran quotes from Tosos. So says the Ran, V'nichalahu dekatan havale tarti Drabanan. Says no, the child is on a lower level of chiyuv than the adult is, even in Megillah, because even if the adult is only chayiv midrabanan, it's what we call a chad rabanan. The adult in general is chayiv in mitzvos on a daraisa level. It's just that this mitzvah happens to be drabanan. The child's level of chiyuv is lower, because his entire relationship to mitzvos is drabanan. Plus, this mitzvah is only drabanan. So that's a trade drabanan. That's a double drabanan. Double drabanan is not stronger than a single drabanan. It's weaker. Meaning, when we talk about a single drabanan, we mean that on the one hand, in one element of the gadol's chiyuv, he has a daraisa chiyuv. His relationship to mitzvahs in general is a daraisa relationship. His chiyuv and mitzvahs in general is a daraisa chiyuv. It just happens to be that the mitzvah mikra megillah is drabanan. So the gadol is only one drabanan, it's half daraisa, half drabanan. But the child is, his whole relationship with mitzvahs is only drabanan. Plus the mitzvah is only drabanan. So it's a lower level chiyuv. That's how the Ran says in the name of Tosfos. Now wait a second. Is the Ran assuming that the child has his own chiyuv, or is the Ran assuming the child has no personal chiyuv, it's all a chiyuv on the father? So from the fact that the Ran formulates what exactly the child's chiyuv is, and tells you, it's a little lower than the gadol's chiyuv because his chiyuv is only drabanan, leads you to believe that the Ran thinks that he's chayiv himself, that the child is chayiv himself. Because this kasha is not a kasha if the child has no chiyuv. Meaning, what was this kasha? How could the child be motzi the gadol in Mikra Megillah? Well, if the child has no chiyuv, why did the Rabbanan think the child cannot be motzi the gadol in Mikra Megillah? Why not? He's chayiv drabanan, the adult's chayiv drabanan. But if you hold that the chiyuv of chinuch is only on the father, then the answer is simple. The child's not chayiv at all. That's why he can't be motzi the gadol. He's simply not chayiv in the mitzvah. It's the father's chiyuv. He's not chayiv at all. So the fact that the Ran gets into this technical discussion, the double drabanan versus single drabanan, leads you to believe that he understands that it's the child's chiyuv. But then the Ran quotes from a Ramban, where the Ramban says that the reason the child cannot be motzi the gadol mikra megillah according to the chachamim is mishum delav mitzvah didei ela da'avua. It's not his mitzvah; it's the father's mitzvah. So again, you see this exact machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos with regard to the benching is a machlokas between the Ran and the Ramban as well. Whose chiyuv is it? Is it the child's chiyuv or is it the father's chiyuv? You have a similar discussion in Shulchan Aruch. There's a halacha in Hilchos Lulav, in Siman Tav Reish Nun Chesiv Vav. Shulchan Aruch writes, Lo yitnenu biyom rishon lekatan kodem sheyotzei bav. Very important halacha in Dalet Minim. On the first day of Sukkot, you should not give your lulav to a child before you yourself have been yotzei with it. Because on the first day of Sukkot, the din is lekachtem lachem biyom rishon. It needs to belong to you. A funny thing about kids is that they have the ability to be kona something, but they don't have the ability to be makne it back to you. The Torah gives them enough capability to be kona something, provided that someone is giving it to them. If they just pick something up from hefker, they don't have the ability to be kona. That's why the halacha is, on a daraisa level, if a child finds an aveda, if he sees an aveda on the street and he picks it up, he's not kona the aveda midaraisa. And technically midaraisa, you can go and steal it from him. The only thing is, Chazal realized that that would probably cause some fights. You'd have some crying child, and then you'll have an angry father of the child, and you'll get into a fight. Not worth the whole thing. So Chazal said, "Mepnei darkei shalom, let the kid keep the aveda that he found. You shouldn't rip it out of his hands." But technically speaking, if no one's giving him anything, he can't even be kona it. or when someone's giving him something, when you have a das acheres makne, so the child himself can be kone. But what he cannot do is give it back, is be makne back to you. He doesn't have the requisite das to be makne back to you. So if that's the case, on the first day of Sukkot, what are you going to do? You're going to give your kid the lulav first, he'll be yotze the mitzvah with it, and he'll be the owner of it. And he can't give it back to you. So now you're not the owner, and you're not going to have lachem. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. Says the Magen Avraham, in the name of the Rush, that if you tell the child, Yehei shalcha ad shetetze bo, that this will be yours only until you yotze with it, then it's going to be mine. Meaning when you first give it to him, you're just borrowing it. I'm not giving it to you. You're just borrowing it until you yotze, and then I get it back. Says the Magen Avraham, then lo yotze bo hakatan. Then the kid's not even yotze. He's not yotze, his mitzvah, you're not yotze your mitzvah of chinuch with the kid. Why? So it sounds like the mitzvah of chinuch is not just get him in the habit of doing it, get him in the habit of lifting the lulav and esrog. Sounds like you need him to be mekayim the mitzvah. And the halach is that a borrowed lulav on day one is not kosher. You can't borrow a lulav on day one. It has to belong to you. It needs to be lachan. So if you lend the lulav to the child, even though he's shaking it properly, he's doing everything right, he made the bracha, everything, but if it's not the way that an adult would be mekayim the mitzvah, then the child can't be mekayim the mitzvah either. So again, the impression you get from that Magen Avraham is that the mitzvah of chinuch is not just get him in the habit. Because if it's just getting in the habit of doing mitzvahs, you can lend it to him, and that would also get him in the habit of doing mitzvahs. No, it's not that. It's that we need, as an Eino Mitzvah V'yosa, he needs to be mekayim the mitzvah as an Eino Mitzvah V'yosa. On the other hand, the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat and Chav Ches quotes from the Mordechai, in the name of the Ra'avan, that you could be mechanech hakatan even with a borrowed lulav. Because in that way, he's also going to be trained to do mitzvahs. So what does that imply? If you hold that way, that you can be mechanech hakatan with a borrowed lulav, so the implication is that it's just to be margalim, get him used to the whole point of chinuch, is just to get him used to doing the mitzvah, but he doesn't actually have to be mechanech the mitzvah as an inner mitzvah of Yosef. So this machlokas that we saw between Rashi and Tosfos, between the Ran and the Ramban, comes down to the poskim, comes down to Magen Avraham and Mishnah Berurah, same machlokas. It's fascinating, you know, part of the, I always marvel when I read tshuvas from Rav Moshe, in Igros Moshe, and Rav Shechter sensitized me to this years ago, when he said that one of the things, he always said that when he was studying for Smicha, when he was learning Yerideya and learning the relevant halachas for Smicha, the way he would test himself is he would open up an Igros Moshe, he would read the Shaila, then he would close the Igros Moshe, write his own tshuva, and then open up the Igros Moshe again and compare Rav Moshe's tshuva to his tshuva. That is not the way normal people study for Smicha, by the way. We just hope we get, you know, in yeshiva they used to say, you know what they call the guy who gets a 65 in every Smicha b'china? Rabbi. So, you know, perfectly fine. So, but that's the way he used to do it. And he would say, it was uncanny that every time he would compare his shuvah to Ramesh's shuvah, and line by line, they're matching up. He got all the right sluggies, everything. And then, out of nowhere, a Moshe comes with a Gemara from left field that you never in a million years would have connected to this whole Shaila. And it's not that Rav Moshe knew everything. He did know everything, but it's not... A lot of people know everything. Not a lot. There are people that know everything. But his ability to apply things was incredible. Rav Moshe has a tshuva about co-education. Whether you could... What age we should separate boys and girls. So Moshe goes through this machlokas, Magen Avraham, Mishnah Berurah, in Hilchos Lulav, about whether we can be mechanich children in a mitzvah that when they get older is not going to be proper, even though right now it's making no difference to them whatsoever. And he uses this as the model to figure it all out. It's a wild, who in a million years? It's about chinuch, but where does co-education come in with a lulav shaul, with a borrowed lulav? It's unbelievable tzushtel, that unbelievable connection that Rav Moshe makes. Okay, so anyway, this machloka seems to line up very nicely as well. Now, according to Tosfos and the Ran, that a katan is a bar chiyuva midrabanan, so certainly he needs to have a lulav that's kilchza, he needs to have a lulav that's not borrowed. It has to belong to him in order to be yotzei. According to Rashi, that the mitzvah of chinuch is a chiyuv on the father, and it's not for him to do neina mitzvah v'yose. Maybe there could be a difference, though, between a sukkah and a lulav. A sukkah that's more than 20 amos high, it's not kosher. and a lulav that's borrowed. What might the difference be? A sukkah that's more than 20 amos high, what's the problem with a sukkah that's more than 20 amos high? What? You can't be. What do you mean? That it's a chafza. I mean, the sukkah is a pasul sukkah. The lulav in this case, it's not a pasul lulav. It's kashra lulav. It's just the circumstances surrounding the lulav, which the katan is probably entirely unaware of, and would never notice, is something that would make him not be able to the mitzvah, if he were a gadol. So could be argued that if the chiyuv is on the father to be margil him in the mitzvah, still you can't give him a sukkah that's l'malam echafama. Because, first of all, especially by sukkah, the Gemara says one of the reasons that he can't be yotzei in a sukkah l'malam echafama is because the whole mitzvah of sukkah is l'man yedu doroseichem, and when it's more than 20 amos high, you don't even see that you're in a sukkah. You'll forget that you're even in a sukkah, especially if you're a little person, right? If you're just a child. So you're never going to see all the way up there to notice the... To notice the schach, it's just beyond his line of vision. There's no chance that he's gonna remember. There's little chance that he's gonna realize he's in a sukkah. Whereas by the lulav, it's a regular lulav. It looks like lulav, tastes like, you know, feels like lulav. Everything's normal about it. It's just that it happens to be borrowed. So maybe in that case, he might be able to be outside. Now another application of this entire concept. Tosos holds, as we've discussed, that a katan sigil chinuch is called a bar chiyuva. He has to do on a drabbanon level. He's chayiv in the mitzvos. Tosos mesach zeriv and daf sadivav, which has been a daf of shas that's been quoted often recently with this whole tumult, all these newspaper articles about these girls that were wearing tefillin or whatever. So the eriv and sadivav is where the Gemara says that Michal bas Shaul wore tefillin. So that's the Gemara. We have one recorded Orthodox Jew in history that was a woman who wore tefillin. Still, to date, the only recorded, I believe, Orthodox Jew in history that we have proof that wore tefillin. They say Rashi's daughters wore tefillin. There's no evidence. There's no reason to believe that that's true. There's no evidence to that. But anyway, so on that daf, the Gemara talks all about someone who's not a bar chiyuva, and the Rishonim talk about someone who's not a bar chiyuva volunteering to do mitzvahs. A woman volunteering tefillin, anyone who's not a bar chiyuva volunteering to do mitzvahs. So Tosos of there implies that a katan is not a bar chiyuva at all, because when they discuss whether a woman is allowed to make a bracha, mitzvah shazman grama, I mean, that's a major discussion the Baalei Tosfos have throughout Shas and Rosh Hashanah and Eber, all over the place. Can a woman make a bracha in a mitzvah shazman grama? Tosfos writes, and don't bring a raya from a katan who says birch samazim even though he's pater. That's not a raya to an isha. The katan asil chal chiyuv v'chayiv l'chancho v'enu musra lo sisa. Because a katan one day is going to be chayiv, and you have to be mechanichim, and he's not musar on any of the yisurim involved on saying the Shem Hashem levatala when he says a bracha levatala. So the implication is that he's not a bar chiyuv at all. That other than that, he would be just like the woman, meaning he's not a bar chiyuv, just like the woman. Elamai, one day he's going to be a bar chiyuv. But the implication of Tosfos is that he's right now, currently in his current state, he's not a bar chiyuv. The Rambam sounds that he is a Baruch Yivah. The Rambam in Hilchos Brachos, Parak Alva Lachat Hazvav, the Rambam writes, Kolam Mivarech Brach Shein Etzricha Reza Nosei Shem L'Shav, V'areu K'nishpa L'Shav. You're not allowed to say Brachos Shein Etzricha. You can't just stop saying a Brach out of nowhere. That's saying Hashem's name in vain. V'asol Ano Sachra V'Amein. And if someone says a Bracha for no reason, so you're not allowed to answer Amein. Hatinokos, Melamden Osa Brachos Ketiknan, children we should teach the brachas to. The afal pishen mevarchin levatala b'sha'as lemida reizem mutter. Even though it's a brachal vatala, but we need to teach them, so it's mutter to do. Ve'ein onin acharehen, v'hon acharein amein lo yatsi dechavasa. But you don't answer after them. Now, from the fact that the Rambam says that the brachas that children make when they're learning is a brachal vatala, technically, but elamai, we have no choice because we got to teach them, sounds like the brachas they make when they eat, or on a mitzvah, is not levatala. Meaning the brachas at the stam that they make b'shas l'mida when they're learning, you're teaching them, that's really a bracha levatala. But a bracha that they're going to make when they're eating, a bracha they're going to make when they're doing a mitzvah, sounds like it's not a bracha levatala. Now the Rambam holds, the Rambam Svardik, he holds like the Svardi psak, where all the Svardim hold like the Rambam, that a woman is not allowed to make a bracha on lulav, on sukkah. Why? Because anyone who's not chayiv themselves, who's not personally chayiv, is not allowed to make a bracha on a mitzvah. Yet the Rambam holds that a child can't just, when a child says a bracha stam with while he's learning, that's a bracha levatala. But if he says a bracha on a mitzvah, that's not a bracha levatala. That's okay, he's allowed to do that. Why? What's the difference between that and a woman? A woman's not allowed to say a bracha according to the Rambam on lulav and sukkah. So why is a child allowed to say a bracha when he does a mitzvah? You see from the Rambam, apparently, that the Rambam holds that the child is a bar chiyuva. That it's not just that it's a chiyuva. What? Yeah, he says only when it's b'shas lamida, when he's learning, that's a bracha levatala. But it sounds like when he's doing mitzvahs, it's not a bracha levatala, the Rambam holds. And in fact, the Rambam says even further, ben mevarich la'aviv, the Rambam perikei halacha tezvav and tezayin, eved mevarich la'rabo, isha mevareches l'mbala, v'yotzi nidei chavasan, avalam rucham tovu meir l'misha ishto b'nam mevarich l'no. A child can be mevarich for his father, an eved for his master, a woman for her husband, and you could be yotze that way, but the chacham say that that's not, it doesn't reflect well on a person when he needs to rely on his wife and children to be motzi him in brachos. That's only if you're only chayiv in benching midrabanan anyway. So the katan, the eved, the isha could be motzi you. But if you're chayiv in benching midaraisi or achal v'sava, where you're chayiv in birch samos min haTorah, an isha, katan, and eved cannot be motzi, because anyone who's chayiv b'dav min haTorah cannot be motzi. Cannot be yotzei his chiyuv al yedei someone who's not chayiv bedavar min haTorah, who has a lower level of chiyuv. But you see again from the Rambam is that a katan could be motzi his father when his father's only chayiv midrabanan. Why? Because apparently the katan himself is a bar chiyuva. Now the problem is the Rambam in Hilchos Chametz Matzah writes as follows: Hakol chayavin ba'achilas matzah afilu nashim va'avadim. Women, children, women and avadim are chayiv in matzah. Even women and avadim are chayiv in matzah. Next sentence: Katan sheyachol leechol pas mechanchin oso b'mitzvos u'machilin oso kazayis matzah. When a child can eat a kazayis, we're mechanichim and give him a kazayis of matzah. What does that sound like? That he's a bar chiyuva or that it's a chiyuv on the father? Sounds very much that it's chiyuv on the father. In fact, if he was a bar chiyuva, what he should have said is that hakol chayav b'achilas matzah afilu nashim v'avadim. All he needed is one more word, ukadanim. But he saves a whole separate sentence. Oh, and when a katan is old enough and he can handle the kazayis, you should give him that kazayis. Not only that, in Hilchos Megillah, the Rambam writes, Parak Aleph Halacha Aleph, anashim and nashim are chayav to read the Megillah. By Ketanim, he says, and we should be mechanech a katan to read the Megillah. Why not say that a katan is chayiv? So Rav Jolti has a whole piece on this in Mishnah Yavitz where he suggests that clearly the Rambam holds that the katan is chayiv. It is his personal chayiv. The reason he says, by chame, the reason he splits it, by chame to matzah, the katan from the nashim and the avadim, and the reason he splits the katan from the nashim and avadim by Megillah, is because the nature of the mitzvah is different. The nature of the chiyuv is different. He can't say a kol chayv b'achilas matzah afilu nashim avadim uketanim, because by ketanim it's only once he's yochel lechol kazayis, whereas you don't have that chiluk by nashim and avadim. The assumption is all nashim and avadim are yochel lechol kazayis. So the switch to break up ketanim from everybody else may have been just because of a practical reason, that there are details about the katan that don't apply. But based on the original Rambams that we saw, it sounds like he actually is a bar chiyuva midrabanan, and there are many, many more rayas from the Rambam. But again, that's the basic chakira, whether he's a bar chiyuva or whether it's just a chiyuv on the father.